some football, baby.
It's a Football Friday with the Boss.
I call shots like a boss.
In the gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Boss and the Gloss. I, David Gow, am the boss, sitting next to the inimitable Carla Dawson. Good morning to you.
Good morning. And then we've got the greatest producer of all time behind the glass,
the mighty Ron Culver. I will say this. I was a little nervous coming in this morning because of what took place last Sunday. Your beloved Raiders versus his beloved Chargers. And the Chargers, with an amazing come-from-behind win. Oh, well, no, I guess not. The Chargers fall to your Raiders, Carla.
Carla and I spent some time talking to each other during that game.
A little therapy, maybe?
Yeah. She helped me through it.
Let me just say that Ron is no President Trump. He conceded immediately because, you know, that game was called Touchdown Chargers, and then upon review, reversed, and Raiders win it. And the first text I get is from Ron, congratulations. And I was like, that is a great fan and a great friend.
If it had gone the other way, Carla, would you have been so magnanimous in defeat?
I would have been good about it because I wouldn't have wanted to hear it.
Would you have waited for further review after the game was over?
over and over again, right.
I possibly would have.
Demand a recount.
I would have called for a recount, yes.
Don't concede anything, woman.
No, Ron, you're the best. I told Ron this morning, I actually had like a tear in my eye for Anthony Lynn. And you know, I'm a cradle Raiders fan, but that the way that the Chargers continue to find ways to lose is actually really sad.
Yep.
Because they've got a bundle of talent. Not Justin Herbert. You,
don't look at it being sad. Look at it being as an art form. Some art is depressing. And that's what this is.
Oh, man. And by all accounts, so Anthony Lynn is not just a great coach, but a great man.
Sure he is.
Yes.
Probably even a better guy off the field than on the field. He is a special person.
But he might be out of a job.
But he is likely to be out of a job based on the way things are going.
But you see how he handles himself in adversity. You don't see headphones being slammed or anything. He is just really, wow. I mean, he's a class act. Sorry for him.
When we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Jamie Roots. He's the president of the Houston Texans.
And an author now.
We will hear from Jamie Roots next on The Boss and the Gloss.
Football Friday with the Boss.
And the Gloss.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
Welcome back to all. And as promised, we are joined in studio by Jamie Roots. Jamie is the president of the Houston Texans, has been since their inception. Jamie, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
I'm glad you didn't introduce me like most people do. They say he's presently the president of the Houston Texans. Is there something you know I don't know?
No, all I'll say is that when I think about the Houston Texans, when I think about their coming to Houston, and of course this was a city that didn't have an NFL franchise for a number of years after the Oilers departed, I think of Jamie Roots, I think of Bob McNair, I think of what you guys did for the city and bringing the NFL back to Houston.
Well, thank you for that. And that there couldn't be a higher honor than to be associated with Bob McNair. And certainly my role was very small compared to what he did. I mean, he really shoved all the chips to the center of the table for the city. I asked him, soon after launching the team, why'd you do this? I mean, you got plenty of money. You could just ride off into the sunset. He said, you know, I just looked at it in Houston. And this is a philosophy that I've had my entire stint here with Houston. He said, Houston's a great city. And without a football team, everybody's asking me, what's wrong with the city of Houston? Mm-hmm. I said, there's nothing wrong. And there was nobody else in the community that can make it happen. So if I'm the only one, I have to go do it.
We're talking to Jamie Roots. He's the president of the Houston Texans, and you have just come out with a book. It's The Winning Game Plan, a proven leadership playbook for continuous business success. So you've written this book. It's all about leadership. Tell us, what was the inspiration to write a book now?
Well, the inspiration to do it now was a question from a guy by the name of Greg Beatles. He's a dear friend. I don't know if you know much about the NFL owners meetings, but they set the rooms up exactly the same. It's a different hotel, but it's laid out exactly the same. And everybody sits in the same seats. Hmm. So for 20 years, I've been sitting in the same seat across from Arthur Blank and Greg Beatles and Rich McKay. So at the end of the meeting, Greg said, can I ask you a question? I said, what is it? He goes, you know, we get all the reports and everything, and I look at your team. You're kind of like ours. Sometimes you're winning, sometimes you're not. But you are always at the top of the business metrics. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me why that is? And I told him, I'll give you a call. And as I walked away, I was like, I know there's got to be a reason. And so I thought, you know, I need to put that down in writing. And so that's what I did. I said, ask myself, what makes us immune to winning and losing, which was the objective from the beginning, and just laid it out. It's really simple, and it all really pointed to timeless principles of people and culture and purpose and, you know, all the things that make any great organization. So I was like, I think we're onto something.
But it is sort of interesting. I guess I read this at some point about the development of this book. You feel like you've developed as a leader over time. It's not something people are naturally born with, the full bounty of leadership qualities. You have to develop them. Tell us about your development.
Well, you do, and I'll say even further, you have to keep developing them because there's always something new, more, better that you can put in your repertoire. And as you get additional responsibilities, the demand of you as a leader is at a higher level. But I had started up the Columbus Crew in Major League Soccer. Any startup requires a true micromanaging. Only one person can have the blueprint, and you got to tell everyone what their role is. And then when I came to the Texans, I did the same thing. And then we played our first few seasons, and I didn't know this, but we were out of the startup mode. We were into ongoing business mode. And there was a consultant who said, "I'd like to come and do some pro bono work for you guys." I said, "Cool." So he said, "The first thing I want to do is I want to visit with all of your leadership team." I said, great, you can help me figure out which ones need to go and which ones need to stay. But that wasn't his objective, right? He called me, he said, by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he said, hey, I'm going to come over. You need to cancel all your meetings for the rest of the day. That's great. He comes in, first thing he said is, I learned a lot about you. And I said, okay. He said, have you ever heard the term micromanager? And I said, of course, I know what a micromanager is. Have you ever heard the term micro leader? I said, no. It doesn't exist. You're not a leader. You're going to need to change. What got you here is not going to get you there.
Wow.
And it really was an epiphany for me. And so I went on a quest of how do I elevate my skills as a leader.
We're talking to Jamie Roots. He has a new book. It's The Winning Game Plan. You can buy it at Amazon.com. The scope of leadership, the scope of what you have to do every day is a really interesting question, because when I think about the Texans and your domain within the Texans, it's not the football product, it's the business side of the Texans. But I think you've defined it beyond just the football side, but it's all, or the business side, it's a community presence as well. Talk about the scope of your leadership with the Texans.
Yeah, I do think, especially for a sports franchise, but I think for any business, it's important that there is a very strong external face for the franchise. And I talk about it in the book of if you're really leading, you're leading in four dimensions. You're leading up, right? So the people you work for trust you, give you total autonomy. You're leading down, that the people are absolutely clear of who we are, how we do what we do, and what we're in business to get accomplished. You lead across, so you want to be perceived as a great collaborator with others. The person that when they pull together a team, you're the first one they think of, because they know you just want to do what is going to get the team a victory. But this last one of leading out, if you can develop a reputation for integrity, hard work, commitment to the community, everyone you come in contact with assumes that everyone in your building is exactly the same. I put it this way. They buy you first. Mm-hmm. They buy you, and then they buy the organization. And so that's always been very important to me. When I was in Columbus, we were begging for support. So it was necessary for me to be out, because they did not like soccer, but they liked me. So they gave it a shot, and yep, they overcome their apprehension and just continued it on here in Houston.
So, Jamie, you've been with the Texans since inception, 20 years now, and obviously the NFL, not only your leadership qualities have had to evolve, but how have you seen the NFL evolve over your entire tenure with the team so far?
Oh, Carl, that's a great question. it's gotten harder, and people have had to work harder and be more strategic. Unfortunately, we were ahead of the curve because I came from a consumer products background, so I led this thing like a consumer products company, figure out what people want and give it to them at a great value, and constantly research to understand how perceptions are changing. About 10 years in, the league started to do that, right? Because teams were finding it a struggle to sell tickets, which really, I mean, the first ad campaign I saw was players catching touchdown passes and running for touchdowns. And I was like, well, that's great and all, but that's not what we're selling. What do you mean that's not what we're selling? We're selling an experience. Mm. Don't tell anybody this, but you can watch our games on TV for free. You know. Right. So what's different and special about coming out to NRG Stadium? And that's what we've excelled at. And I see NFL teams are all getting really good at that, and they have to in order to maintain a full house. And with the secondary ticket market has been really challenging. You look at baseball. I mean, really hard for them to sell their primary tickets because if you're just going to one game, get the very best seat in the house, pay three times face, all good. But we have to sell, you know, 72,000. Up front, and then let the secondary ticket market work. And fortunately for us, sold out every game we've ever had. We have a 30,000 member wait list. And David, you remember here in Houston, it wasn't like that. People told me when I came here, win and they'll come, lose and they won't come. And that's the way it was in Oiler days.
Yep.
And they didn't allow tailgating. True. So it was just a transaction. If you're winning, I'll come out and see you. If you're not, I'm going to stay at home.
Right. But that NRG experience on a Sunday, the tailgating that comes before the game, coming into the stadium, the whole experience, the service levels, the commitment to really giving the fan the full moment on a Sunday afternoon has been something you guys have really nailed.
Well, thank you for saying that because it's an overnight success 20 years in the making, right? So but I was struck by a biography of Walt Disney, and at the end it was talking about some of his accolades, and one that they were most proud of was he was awarded the Architecture of the Year or whatever from Harvard School of Architecture. And they said, it's not because Disneyland is so special it's not like revolutionary architecture, but he took something so pedestrian, a theme park, and turned it into something absolutely different in a unique category.
Magical.
In its respect Magic for people. Kingdom. And right. that's what we tried to model.
Well, you've done a great job with it. And speaking of magical, we had that incredible Super Bowl that Houston hosted here at NRG where the Patriots came from behind and beat the Atlanta Falcons. What are the chances that Houston is in the mix for another Super Bowl anytime soon?
Well, it will absolutely happen. I have no idea when. But Houston did such a great job. The first
they
one was
did.
Kind of the first one we did in 2004. I think it was a trial run for us.
That was the Janet Jackson game, right?
That's right. That's
you
right.
Refer to it that way.
How sad that was. The Panthers and Patriots and Janet Jackson. That's what everyone
that's
remembers.
Right.
But the most recent one, and you know, I put all the credit to Rick Campo, who is our chair and he runs Camden.
Yep.
Rick did a wonderful job. He's got super high expectations, treats people with respect, and helped us to get a tremendous victory for the city.
We're talking to Jamie Roots. He's the author of a new book. It's called The Winning Game Plan, a proven leadership playbook for continuous business success. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, I want to ask you, Jamie, about leading in the midst of adversity. I mean, the team has had ups and downs over time. Love to ask you about leadership in the adversity of COVID and all kinds of seasons. It'll be Jamie Roots when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network,
presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see their selection. The professional parts people will help you find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will install your wiper blades free of charge. Go to O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, joining us here this morning in studio is Jamie Roots. He's the 20-year president of the Houston Texans, and he's written a book on leadership. It's called The Winning Game Plan, a proven leadership playbook for continuous business success, and you can find it on Amazon.com. Jamie, great to have you. As I said, going to break, I'd love to ask you what it's like to lead in the midst of adversity, and maybe the adversity, one piece of adversity is obviously you run the business side. There's also the product on the field, and well, the Texans have had ups and downs like every NFL team, and you've got to still run the business even when things aren't going well on the field.
I assume I'm talking to the boss and not the gloss, right?
<That's> right.
I love it.
I know, but everyone wants to talk to the gloss.
I see why.
Yes.
So it was about 10 years ago, and I was asked to give a keynote address to the Houston Business Journal's 40 Under 40 winners.
Yep.
And that's really been the genesis of this book is all the speaking engagements, because I don't just go out there and wing it, right? I've always thought about, okay, what's really exciting to me from a leadership perspective, and how can I put that down in a PowerPoint so I really understand it, and then I go out and share it with people. So I was talking to Bob McNair, and I was like, Bob, you know, being in the NFL is kind of like a microcosm of life. You know, I worked at IBM and I worked at Procter & Gamble, and Monday in December is just like a Monday in February, and it never changes. Everything's like level.
Yep.
In this building, what, depending on the week, you're either handling adversity or handling success.
Yep.
It just whips you. The good news is we're all adrenaline junkies, right? So we love it. But I said, you know what? I really ought to think about how we navigate that. He said, that's a good idea. So I came back to him with what I thought were four plays for handling adversity and four plays for handling success. And he said, I think you nailed it, right? Mm. And so we have codified four things we do in any time of adversity, because the on-field stuff has been adverse. You go 2-14. And in that one season, we won the first two games and we lost 14 in a row.
Yep.
You know, that's hard to do.
Yep. I remember.
Yeah, but we've also had hurricanes and we've had floods and we've had all kinds of things that we've had to wrestle with. And so.
And now a pandemic.
And now a pandemic.
And we are social distancing here, to be clear.
Yes.
Yes.
So so in all of those cases, we just go to those four plays and remind ourselves this is what it takes to get through. Number one is pushing back. You know, you have to have a mindset that this is not going to take me down.
Yep.
I am going to fight back. There's a book called The Road Less Traveled by M. Scott Peck. And if you don't want to read it, read the first paragraph. It'll change your life. Hmm. He says, life is hard. Once you embrace that life is hard, the fact that it's hard doesn't matter anymore. Hmm. You can just go about your business making things happen, you know? So that's number one. You got to push back. Number two is to remain positively focused. And we came upon this during the NFL lockout. That was our theme for the year, because we knew in our heart that we were going to have a season, but everybody around us was telling us, how can you have a season? Your players are locked out. And of course, as you know, it all resolved itself. But positively focused in any environment, the natural human tendency is to fixate on the negative. Particularly when things are going badly, you have to remind yourself that there is a balance of positive and negative here, and you have to intentionally amplify the positive. And I've got a little exercise that I put in the book, and it's really simple. It's called the blessings and burdens exercise. Whenever I get overwhelmed, I sit down with a piece of paper and put a line down the middle, and I say, okay, what is going great in my life? I have a beautiful wife. I have great kids. I love my neighborhood. I love who I work for. I live in the United States of America. I've got deep faith. I get this, like, I'm like almost going to two pages, and I'm like, so what are you so worried about? Well, this thing and this thing need to get resolved. Okay, what steps am I going to take tomorrow to resolve those two things as quickly as possible? And it's just a relief. Then number three, you know, there was a guy who was fired from a newspaper for having no original ideas. His name was Walt Disney.
Hmm.
Imagine if he would have allowed that to take down his dreams, but yep. He believed before seeing. In the Bible, it says, blessed are those, you know, in the Thomas story, mm-hmm. blessed are those who have not seen yet still believe. So it's not about seeing. It's about believing. And then last is just perseverance. Rosebeth Moss Kanter wrote the book Confidence and looked at all kinds of organizations and tried to figure out what creates winning streaks and losing streaks. And at the end, she said, it's really simple. At the end of the day, the difference between winning and losing is pretty much how long people give it before they give up. So never give up. So those are the four things that we remind ourselves of in any adversity.
Jamie Roots for president of the United States. That's what I say.
Please don't wish that on me. I'm too nice.
Well, that is a fact.
Let's have a recount.
So, Jamie, it has been for Texans fans, this has been a tough season. I mean, we currently have a losing record. The coach has been fired, you know, who is also the general manager. What are you looking for? What are you looking for in a coach going forward? You're going to be hiring a coach and possibly a general manager. What are the things you're looking for to lead this franchise and to keep all these wonderful things you just said moving in the right direction?
Well, you said it first. I mean, first, a leader of men. Yeah. The X's and O's, I mean, they will be fundamentally sound in their understanding of the game of football, but they need to be able to lead others. They need to inspire others. Don Shula said, I know of no other way to lead than by example. So leaders have to be totally authentic. They have to have high EQ, right? They got to be able to deal with people well. They have to be resilient. They have to be able to inspire. They got to see around corners. And they have to have a system of execution that flat out works. And if we get all of that, we'll win the Super Bowl every year.
We're talking to Jamie Roots. He's the author of The Winning Game Plan, a proven leadership playbook for continuous business success. You can find it at Amazon. Being a leader isn't always easy, and this has been a tough week with Amy Palsik's departure. She was a longstanding PR person there at the Texans, and you've stepped up and said that was a decision that you had to make as a leader for the organization. What was the context of your decision?
Well, you're right. It's everybody's, oh boy, I'd love to be in the top spot. That'd be awesome, you know. It a lot of times it's a lonely place to be,
right?
So you're the only one who can make these kind of game-changing decisions, and you do it in the best interest of the individual and the best interest of the organization, because when things aren't going right, you know, it's best apart. And I was talking to our staff yesterday, and I was explaining the situation. There were 200 people on the call. I said, there's not a person on this call that could have made that decision. It's me. Right. And I hold all of you guys accountable for dealing with the talent issues in your group. And if I didn't do it, I mean, what a phony I am. And so while it was difficult and it impacted somebody that I care about deeply, because you pour yourself into these people and developing them, but just sometimes it's not right. And that's where we were.
Love to ask you about one other person in the organization. It seems to me he's sort of the mystery man to me, Jack Easterby, in the sense that he doesn't have a traditional background for the position he has in football. He's a pastor. And what's he like as a person and as a leader at the Texans?
Well, I think that's why he gets so much noise out there in the sports world, is they're like, hey, you jumped the line, you know? You didn't start as an intern. Go on.
Right.
So Jack's brilliant, and he has the highest character. He has zero ego. He works his tail off. He has the best interests of the organization at heart, and he understands people really well. So, I mean, what role he play? I don't know, but I think he's an impact player that can help this franchise win a championship. And if you want to know what he's really about, you know, ask Bill Belichick. He loves him.
Yeah, that's very true, Jamie. So it's not often that franchises have two or more players that are their top of their positions. And I'm talking about J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson. I mean, top of their positions in the league.
And top in the community, too.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. It's like, not only are they incredible on the field, but their character and what they do for the community. What do these two, specifically Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt, do for the Texans brand? And then to add a little bit on that, trade rumors about J.J. Watt, is there any way that you can see him leaving this franchise? He's an ambassador, both of them, for the NFL as well as the Texans.
All that, Jamie, and you've got about 1 minute to answer that question.
Oh. Well, Carla, just like every player that we have, I can envision at one point in time they are going to leave the organization. It's just the way it goes, right? But I don't know when. I just don't know when. But Deshaun, JJ's story is well known.
Right.
Triple threat. Incredible talent, hardest worker, and is committed to the community. I mean, that's as good
and
as you can get.
Very visible, and everyone knows him. Yeah.
Yep. And Deshaun is the same way. Deshaun is a Pied Piper. Even me. I mean, I see him after the game, and I'm just like, I love this guy. He comes over and gives me this warm hug and this big smile, and I'm like, you are awesome. You have just gone out on a field in the National Football League and done amazing things, and you want to spend time with me? You know? He's just really special. Humble, hard.
He recognizes a fellow Clemson Tiger.
He does.
There's the connection. It's Jamie Roots, a Clemson alum. He's also the author of a great book. You can find it on Amazon. It's called The Winning Game Plan. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us.
And all the proceeds go to charity.
All the proceeds go
to the Texans Foundation.
That's right. That's fantastic. Wonderful to have you, Jamie. Thank you for coming in.
Great being with you. We'll be right back.
Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Great to have Jamie Roots, president of the Houston Texans, in studio with us. And he
and great
is
to have DJ Ron. This is music is rocking. I'm happy about
that. Oh, Ron's done it again, hasn't he? Well, when Ron makes you happy, everybody is right.
That's right. Started Sunday night with this congratulatory text. Very classy, Ron.
Boy, I'll tell you, Jamie Roots, both on the air and then off the air in this conversation in the break, he is a big Deshaun Watson fan. And really, Deshaun Watson is an incredible face for the Texans. He's both a great player on the field and a great person in the community in Houston, Texas.
And, you know, he really has got his – he's really got his players' backs. You know, he was – definitely vocal at the trade deadline about there would be hell to pay if they got rid of Will Fuller. Like, this is my guy. And, you know, your locker room wants to know that, too. And, you know, I loved in talking to Jamie, this is a tough season for a Houston Texans fan, and we're here in Houston. It's been real rough. But you know what? I feel good about the direction they're going. I like that they want to look for a leader of men in their next coach. And I think that next coach is out there.
I think it's got to be Eric Bieniemy.
I do, too.
Because I think the pairing of Bieniemy and Watson could be electric. It's be a little bold to say that's like having Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. But
it's similar.
It's similar, same age, same kind of skill set. I mean, Watson's complete skill set, his ability to move in the pocket, his ability to make every throw, his ability to see the field – he may be the closest in terms of the total package of talent. He may be the closest to Patrick Mahomes of any quarterback in the NFL.
But just as important as, you know, they've got Veach in Kansas City. We've got to get a good GM to pair with an excellent coach. That is key. You know, it's interesting. You look at what Cleveland has done. Like, obviously, they're kind of all over the map. But they've gone through four coaches in 4 years, three general managers in a couple years. But look where they are now with Stefanski and Andrew Berry. Like, they've really – the pieces are there. The team is coming together. You know, I really – I think they're a great model to a lot of adversity, not getting it right several times. And I really think they've got the right formula. And Rome can't be built in a day, but they're – I mean – 5-3 right now and looking good.
Yeah, Browns 5-3. They will play the Texans this weekend. It will be in Cleveland. Texans, of course, 2-6. Baker Mayfield has been hot and cold. When he plays well, the sky's the limit, but he's also had some games that have just been stinkers. The key to me is to keep the running game going there. When you can get Nick Chubb running the ball effectively, that really opens up Kareem Hunt. That opens up everything for Baker Mayfield. They're very effective off the play action, and then everything seems to fall in place for Cleveland.
Well, and sadly for the Texans, Nick Chubb will be back this week for Cleveland. And, you know, the Texans, they have a chance to win if Deshaun Watson is not the team's leading rusher. That can't happen. They've got David Johnson out with a concussion, so Duke Johnson will get the start, no relation. But, you know, last week Deshaun was the team's leading rusher against Jacksonville. He had 10 carries for 50 yards. I mean, he cannot be averaging 5 yards a carry and being at the top of that chart for the team. They've got to have someone step up here.
Yeah, the Texans, for all their investment in the offensive line and the trade for Johnson, they really have never gotten their running game going this season. So that's a real work in progress. And Watson, for all his heroics, should not be running the ball and being the leading rusher, as you've noted. Okay, a guy who did run the ball well last night really impressed me because I had not seen a lot of him, was Nyheim Hines of the Colts. And
oh,
he was outstanding.
He was the MVP last night.
Yeah, 115 yards for the Indianapolis Colts as they won the Thursday night football game, their matchup over the Tennessee Titans. An important
34-17. It wasn't a small win. They spanked him.
And that was an important AFC South matchup. These two teams will battle probably down the stretch. They'll play again in 2 weeks. But it was a great, great win for the Colts.
It was a big win for the Colts. And now they're tied atop the division, as you said. And they're going to meet again, the Titans and the Colts, in 2 weeks. So good news for Indianapolis. They now sit atop the AFC South. Bad news for the Titans. They've got next week, they see the Ravens. Then after that, they see the Colts again. And after a 5-0 start for Tennessee, they've gone 3-4 in their last four games. You know, I was concerned about Tennessee. Honestly, after they had to go into overtime to beat the Texans. And I love me some Texans, but let's be real, it's a tough season. So that to me gave me a little bit of cause to pause. And I look back and, you know, their games against Denver, their first several games, they won by margins of 1, 2, and 3 points against sub 500 teams. You know, I think Tennessee, I think they have, you know, they've got to be careful. I know they're very happy with Tannehill. He still makes some crazy bad decisions. You know, they are without left tackle Taylor Lewan for the rest of the season.
That's a big loss.
They're scoring less, 10 points less a game without Lewan. He went out in the Texans game. So I think it's going to be tough for them down the stretch.
Well, Lewan, I mean, you look at a team, the Titans are, that love to run the ball first and set up the play-action passing of Tannehill. And not having him there was a big setback for them. He, of course, is gone for the season. But the Titans' real weakness seems to me to be on the defensive side of the ball.
Amen.
And their best attempts in the offseason to improve their pass rush really did not pan out. They signed Vic Beasley and Jadeveon Clowney in the offseason. They invested $22.5 million in bringing those two guys in.
Geez.
And they've already cut Beasley. He's gone. 7 games, no sacks. Beasley's off the roster. And Clowney has not performed for them either, although he's still on the team.
No, you know, it's been tricky. And last night was a prime example. I mean, the Colts scored 24 unanswered points against Tennessee. And special teams was, I mean, there was a botched punt, then there was a blocked punt. I mean, that Titans defense is, it's trouble. It's rough.
Okay, so another game this weekend I'm excited to see. Tampa Bay versus Carolina, because Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, I've never seen Tom Brady look like he did last week. He was harassed. He was under siege. He just seemed out of sync with his receivers. And in fact, we hear now he was out of sync with Antonio Brown on one of those plays. Brown was supposed to go deep. He
didn't
cut it short.
Right,
Brady went deep and the ball was intercepted. So the fact that the notion that you can take a guy off the street and suddenly insert him onto a team quickly didn't really pan out for them. Now, Brown's got a lot of talent. Maybe they'll figure out how to get him involved, and maybe that will ultimately prove to be good. But the game was bigger than Antonio Brown. The Buccaneers were just crushed by that Saints defense. Tom Brady looked disheveled. I've never seen him quite look quite that bad. In fact, it was the lowest QBR rating in a game he's ever
40.
Had. Yeah.
It was a QBR of 40.
Does not happen to the GOAT.
And three interceptions by Brady. That's the first time that's happened to him since 2011. But here's what I think is the craziest stat of all. The Bucs on the ground, they had 6 carries. 6.
Miserable.
For the game.
Yeah, that's miserable.
But you know what I think? You mentioned AB in the beginning, and while he was not a factor really one way or the other, I wonder if that karma is just doing little seeping in.
It's the karma factor.
It could be. But I had to laugh. I mean, so Jameis Winston is Drew Brees' backup in New Orleans now. Obviously, he was a former Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Did you see him eating his W, eating his freaking fingers at the end of the game? I'm like, do you really have to interview bomb Drew Brees eating your finger? I don't want to see Jameis Winston eating any more of his. He didn't have anything to do with
his W. What is that all about?
W.
I mean, I don't know a lot of people who eat their fingers.
Oh, my gosh. Remember we saw that? He did it in a huddle.
Yes, he did.
In Tampa Bay. And when he was in the huddle, his linemen were looking at him like, you know,
his teammates
he had leprosy.
They didn't get
confused.
It.
Confused.
Yes.
And so here he was on, you know.
He's brought it to New
Monday
Orleans.
Monday Night Football, eating his fingers in Drew Brees' face. I was like, oh, man. I don't know. That's just, maybe that's a bro thing. I don't love it.
I just think that Saint defense was impressive, though. They got
incredible.
A really good pass rush on there. Marcus Davenport and company are really coming on for that Saints team. I mean, each week in the NFC, it seems like there's a new name, a new team that we want to say, wow, they may be the class of the NFC, and it's always hard to say. It's Green Bay one week, it's Seattle another week. But New Orleans has been pretty consistently near the top of that realm, and if I had to put my money on an NFC team right now, I think New Orleans would be in my top 2 or 3 teams for sure.
And Michael Thomas wasn't even a factor, so
right.
Wait until he's back and healthy.
Yes, in fact, it may well be that the absence of Michael Thomas has pushed New Orleans to diversify its whole roster to get Drew Brees to work more people into the scheme. And it may well be that when Thomas comes back, they're a better team for having had Thomas off the roster for the last 4 or 5 weeks.
And what New Orleans has done, which I think is unusual for the other teams and basically every other team in the league, they've been on a trajectory, on an upward. You know, they've been adjusting every week. You know, they had that tough Monday Night Football loss with Las Vegas, but really on the up and up and adjusting instead of this roller coaster of blow out someone, get blown out. You know, Green Bay losing to Minnesota, Tampa Bay losing so poorly to New Orleans. You know, there's just been a lot of not as much. It doesn't seem as much parity. Teams are all over the map this season. It's crazy.
Well,
they seem like on a steady increase.
In the NFC, I guess you have to go Saints, Packers, Seahawks as the big three. In the AFC, the big three would be Chiefs, Steelers, Ravens in my head. Although somebody could make a case for the Bills, who came off with a big win last week over the Seahawks. I mean, Josh Allen last week seemingly outdueled Russell Wilson. Now, part of that is the Seahawks defense is not very good. Seahawks defense has been a real struggle, and they need to shore that up if the Seahawks are going to win the NFC.
Well, and Russell Wilson had four turnovers, which is so unlikely for him.
Yep.
But, yeah, that was – and the Bills are a little bit all over the place, too. They've got a great record at 7-2, but they've played a lot of, you know, lesser teams. But, man, they showed out great last weekend.
Well, Josh Allen is a guy that everybody's jumping on the train right now. But in his defense, I mean, those first four games, he was outstanding. Then he tailed off for a few. And a lot of people suggest it was an injury. He had a sort of a big bruise in his left shoulder, not his throwing shoulder, and that may have thrown off his balance and his ability to throw with ease. But now he seems back, fully healthy, and if he can play like he did against Seattle last week, the sky's the limit for the Bills.
No, it really is, and you look at the Bills' losses. They've had two to Kansas City and the Titans. I mean, that's respectable.
Yep.
And they've had statement wins, not only over Seattle last week, but over the Rams as well. And when you're entering, going into this season with Josh Allen, he had yet to have a 300-yard passing day. This season, he's had five, including two 400-yard outings. And his QBR has gone from an 85 to, you know, over 105. So it's really been impressive.
Well, I think getting Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley's a quarterback's best friend, right? The option routes.
Yep.
Those are really great receivers. Receivers who you can see on the field. They can get separation. And they adjust to his throws very, very well.
Stephon Diggs, to me, might be the best receiver in the NFL right now. I put him way up there.
He's on the short list. I mean, and it is interesting that, I mean, the Bills gave up a pretty good ransom of draft picks in order to get him from the Vikings. Far more than the Cardinals paid for DeAndre Hopkins. So if you just looked at it in terms of draft capital.
Can you just not bring that up? That's still such a wound. Such a wound. Oy.
All right, when we come back, we're going to take a break here. We're going to look at other games around the NFL, including a good one, which will be the Steelers and the Bengals, because I think Joe Burrow's going to show well against that Steelers defense.
Here we go.
All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Boston Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Listening to Football Friday with the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network,
presented by Blue Emu and Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
All right, I was aggressive in saying that the Bengals might just upend the Steelers. That game is in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh clearly the favorite. Pittsburgh one of the class teams in the AFC East. But I've been so impressed by Joe Burrow, who's not playing behind a good offensive line, who is playing at a very, very high level, and he uses his mobility very, very well.
He does. He's the real deal. I mean, you look at this. His average is up to this point, seven games in. He's averaging 285 yards, 67% completion percentage, 11 TDs to five interceptions. That is some good-looking stat line for a rookie.
It's impressive, and you combine him and Justin Herbert, what he's doing with the Chargers, and, of course, Tua now coming on in Miami, and it sure looks like a good year for quarterbacks in last year's draft.
I don't think it was crazy for you to say, though, that Cincinnati could take this, because you look at the Steelers are 8-0, the only undefeated team in the NFL, but their wins have been nail-biters.
Yep.
I mean, the reason that they're winning is, yes, they have an incredible amount of talent. They do. And Ben Roethlisberger, I've got to hand it to him. At his age and missing basically an entire season last year with a wrist injury, he has come back looking good. He still does some Roethlisberger things. He's throwing more picks than not normal because that's what he does. But their experience in their ability to persevere, I think resilience is the key to Pittsburgh. And that's how they've been able to win. They almost lost against your Cowboys, very depleted Cowboys team with the fourth string quarterback at this point.
Cowboys had them on the ropes.
They did.
Cowboys defense looked a lot better, although it may just have been Pittsburgh came out in a sort of a sluggish mindset. I mean, it's hard. It's a grind, a 16-game season. There's always a game or two when even the elite teams will play down to the level of the opposition. And I think that's a little bit of what happened to Pittsburgh. But good team that they are, they figured out how to win. They pulled it off in the fourth quarter. It was not an easy win for the Steelers. And look, already everyone's saying, could the Steelers go undefeated? Would they be that team that would break the Dolphins' record and have an undefeated season? No, it's just not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either. Especially in this week, you add Ben Roethlisberger being on the COVID list, you know, because of close contact to someone a teammate testing positive. So he really hasn't practiced this week. So there's that. You've got to factor that into this a little bit too.
All right, this hour of The Boss and the Gloss on Sports Map Radio has been presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Thanks so much. That's hour number one on The Boss and the Gloss, Sports Map Radio.